This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so a little bit late here because we had to talk to Chernoff about this big rumor out there that John Heyman decided to float about his son Mike Chernoff being a candidate for the Mets general manager.
So let me ask you a question. Like where does that... Where do you think Heyman gets that from? You think he just looks at other people's like rosters and says, oh, let's pluck this guy, that guy, because they have a tie to the area, that kind of thing, or no?
Yeah, I think that he might do that because he
also... somebody actually tell him, oh, yeah, Mike Chernoff's going to be under consideration for this.
He also mentioned David Stearns and Jed Hoyer. Stearns of the Brewers, Jed Hoyer of the Cubs.
But neither one of those guys are general managers, are they?
Brewers GM David Stearns, yes.
Isn't Hoyer?
What's with your microphone there? You got some feedback going on.
I don't know.
Very strange.
Yeah, well, he's under Epstein.
Right.
But
I think technically he's the GM and Epstein's like the team president or whatever. But yeah, Epstein's the boss, obviously.
And it says that Mets ownership might have to use the president title if they're willing to do that. And there's no guarantees those targets, current bosses, would let him go. So I don't know. I don't know if it's an agent thing. I don't know if it's one of those looking at local guys.
That's like total crap. I mean, you could throw anything out there, and then you could just say, well, but there's no guarantees.
Oh, yeah, of course not. Because there aren't. I mean, this one I like that he threw out there, though. I mean, this is fun for me.
It's fun until it happens.
No, it would be fun if
then
it happened,
then
too.
I don't know about that.
I mean, do you think
that's a little uncomfortable?
You think Chernoff would like that? What do you think?
He'd like it for his son. I don't know how you guys would like it.
Well, why not? I mean, he wouldn't muzzle us.
He wouldn't muzzle you, but I mean, just think about it.
It'd be a little awkward at times.
Yeah, if we're really being honest,
I think we would have to say, look, nothing personal. We really like the Chernoffs, but my God, what the hell is he thinking?
Yeah, right. It'd be a little tricky.
But think about it. The guy did an unbelievable job, is doing an unbelievable job with the Indians.
Yeah,
he could come here and do a great job.
Some point, there's bound to be something that you'd have to criticize him for.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's all I'm saying.
And I think that he would understand.
He'd understand.
Been around for a long time. Right?
Understand, but you still got to, walk the same halls with the man here.
Sure.
Know?
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, CeeLo, you got an update for us?
Yeah. And with the pesky Orioles out of the way, the Yankees continued their dominance of the top teams in the American League.
Didi runs, pitch swung on, and hit in the air to center field. And deep. Allen back, away back. It's over his head, off the center field wall. Didi scores easily. Hicks to second with a double. It is a ribby double for Aaron Hicks. A jolt right off the dead center field wall.
Snapped a 4-4 tie in the eighth. John Sterling here on The Fan. That finally knocked Corey Kluber out of the game, and the Yanks went on to beat the Indians in Cleveland 7-4. Aaron Boone's club improving to 17-6 against teams that would be in the AL playoffs if they started today.
The guys in our room, there's no question like the competition.
And the offense picked up Luis Severino in this one. That Severino-Kluber matchup didn't go quite as expected. Severino touched up for 4 runs on 9 hits over 5 innings. A lot of pair of homers for the second straight game.
You credit them with really squaring them up, more so than we've seen at any time this year.
And Terry Francona was pleased with that aspect of his team's performance, but then...
Their bullpen is also exceptional. They brought in 4 guys that are pretty good, and Dick kind of did a number on us.
No-hit ball from Warren, Robertson, Betances, and Chapman the rest of the way. Brett Gardner homered twice. Didi Gregorius went deep as well, and Greg Bird doubled home a pair in the fourth. He continues to heat up, but says this one was a total team effort.
I think it's just a good all-around win. A lot of guys came up in big spots and came through, and I think Sevy kind of battled out there and kept us in it.
Can you name that tune?
No, I can't.
I can't either.
That one's a tough one.
That's why I played it for you. I thought maybe you'd be able to help us out.
No.
They were pumping the beats, though, again last night.
One more time,
Victor.
I think it's just a good all-around win. A lot of guys came up in big spots and came through, and I think Sevy kind of battled out there and kept us in it.
I got it. It's One Kiss, Calvin Harris, and Dua Lipa.
Man, you are locked into top 40, huh?
That's what it is. Wow. Yeah, that's exactly what that is.
Good job out of you. I'm impressed.
What's that look like?
Boomer
for?
Is not impressed.
What's that look like?
Well, I'm not. I'm like, that's good. I appreciate it. I thought it was Lil Wayne. I'm sorry.
No, it wasn't. No, it was not a little wheezy. Yeah, Calvin Harris and Dua Lipa, I think is how you say her name.
Do you have like a nice speaker setup on your boat?
Oh, of course.
So you're blasting it out there.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, with the flunkies. That's the kind of music you're listening to right there.
I don't know when he's listening to Top 40 because every time he'll reference WFAN all day long things to me. He'll be like, did you hear CMB did this? Yeah. Joe did this? Mike did this? I'm like, boy, he is locked into this station.
Right. Yeah, I am. But there's also times where people tell me things. Like, I am the, whatever it is, I'm the magnet for stuff
he's
that
got
goes
sources.
On. Yeah, everybody has to tell me, check this out, check that out. But I do listen to the station a lot. But on the boat, you can't listen to the station. You need some, like, music, some... You get your juices flowing. I can't be out there on a boat.
Do you
like
even have a
Minko
good enough
updates.
Radio to get reception of the fan
sure.
out on the water?
Yeah, and then or I'll stream as well. I'll stream through the Bluetooth.
It's not like he's in the Mediterranean.
I understand. I just don't know what kind about. Of you know signal that his. I don't know what kind of strength radio he has. If it's any good, you know, some radios don't get good signals. That's all.
We've got a tremendous signal.
No, the
here
station
at the
does. I'm talking about the specific radio setup on the boat. That's all.
Yeah, moving right along.
Moving right along. We said that every day, it seems like. Yanks are 4-0 against Cleveland this season, 7-0 if you include the final three games of last October's ALDS. It's been a good run against them. Tonight, a couple of rookies, Domingo Germán against Shane Bieber, pregame on the fan at 6:30. And guess what? The Yanks are still 3.5 back of the Red Sox. Aaron Boone addressing Boston's recent hot streak with Mike here on the fan yesterday.
I think they understand that they win every day, but I also think you understand that, I mean, as cliche as it is, and there's nothing you can do about
until
it.
Until you play them again, because right now the Sox are scorching hot.
Runners go swing and a drive. Deep left field. It's a grand slam. Mookie Betts, his fourth career grand slam. And the Red Sox lead it 5-2.
Tim Neverett, Red Sox Radio. That capped a 13-pitch at bat for Betts. He's having a phenomenal year. He later added an RBI single. Sox beat the Blue Jays at Fenway 6-4. Betts is now at 352, 23-49, out of the leadoff spot and missed 2 weeks earlier in the season.
I feel like I must have missed this. Someone has to talk about it. Is 39.5 games out at the All-Star break a record? It's got to be, right? I mean, it has to be.
And by the way, your boy J.A. Happ pitched for Toronto last night.
Yes.
He got slapped around again for the third straight outing.
That was the 13-pitch at bat, which Betts got the best
of. It was amazing. Everybody was talking about J.A. Happ and how he runs roughshod over the American League East. He's 41-15 over the last 3 years. He owns the Yankees and the Red Sox. Well, the Yankees and the Red Sox slapped them around last two times.
They're owning him right now. 10 in a row for Boston. Rick Porcello on the mound tonight as they'll try to make it 11 straight. At Citi Field, the Nationals homer their way past the Mets.
Rendon, right-hand batter, and the first pitch hit high in the air to deep left center, back near the wall, and gone. A line drive home run by Anthony Rendon.
Literally wrote, he seems to do it to the Mets
That's
all the
unbelievable.
Time.
Unbelievable.
He does. He very much so. Howie Rose first inning called WOR. Immediate deficit for the Mets. Rendon later homered again off of Steven Matz. Bryce Harper went deep against Jerry Blevins. And the Nats held on to beat the Mets 5-4. Matz a little caught off guard by Rendon's approach in that first inning AB.
He just ambushed me in that first pitch there. Normally, I don't see him as a guy who's overly aggressive early. Especially since he hasn't seen me.
You're not a fan of that explanation.
No. You know, if you're a Mets pitcher and you're playing against Anthony Rendon in a Nationals uniform, get ready. He's going to be aggressive.
Maybe don't lay one in on the first pitch.
He just basically owns Mets.
That's
pitching.
The second Met pitcher this year who has used that word ambush.
Ambush.
Baseball is the direct opposite of an ambush. You step into a box with a bat with the intention to hit the ball that you are getting thrown from. And I mean, an ambush is when you don't know anybody's there. And you're not looking. It's a stupid term. I'm sorry.
Angry Met fan. They hung in there against.
Did you hear Jerry Blevins, by the way, talk about the Bryce Harper home run? He was so ticked off.
Yeah, I'll play you that next hour.
All right, thanks. Awesome.
Good. Listen, you got it's 4 hours. You got to spread it out. I can't give you all the goods in one. The first update out of the gate. You know, I got to leave you wanting some more.
It's a nice tease.
Yes, home runs from Jose Bautista and Kevin Plawecki as Drubal Cabrera went deep in the eighth, but Ryan Matson closed the door in the ninth. Ahmed Rosario grounded into a double play to end it. That was a pinch hit appearance because, despite being six for his last 13 entering the game, he was given the night off by Mickey Callaway, who didn't think it was wise to have him face the dominant Scherzer
rather than make a little harder on him today. Figure we can get some good work in before the game, keep on focusing on the things that he needs to do to continue to get better,
and
give him a day off and then let him play the next three and finish the first half strong.
Keep treating the kid with kid gloves.
We just know that, you know, we love him.
Yes.
And we really care about him.
Big embrace.
We
make sure
we're going to give him a day off. We gave him a little ice cream, too. Yeah. He likes them waffle cones. He likes that. So we gave him a little soft serve and a waffle cone and a little pat on the fanny and a kiss on the forehead. That's what we do.
It's one thing if you have a legitimate replacement.
They do not.
Right, exactly.
Jose Reyes was 0-for-3. He's awesome. Hitting in the 160s. Good times. Noah Syndergaard back from the DL to make the start tonight. He'll be opposed by Tanner Roark at 7-10. Elsewhere, milestone long ball for Albert Pujols.
And here's Albert swinging at a pitch. It's hit deep in the left field. Out of here. Out by the Angels bullpen. Two homer night for Albert.
Terry Smith, Angels Radio Network. They hammered the Mariners 11-2. And for Pujols, career homers 629 and 630, pulling even with Ken Griffey Jr. for sixth place on the all-time list. And a bunch of late-night NBA moves. Isaiah Thomas, a one-year, $2 million deal with the Nuggets, who also traded Kenneth Faried, Darrell Arthur, a 2019 protected first-round pick, and a 2020 second-rounder to the Nets in a salary dump for Denver. They acquire Isaiah Whitehead, who they plan to waive in the deal with Brooklyn, and the protected 2019 first reportedly covers selections 1 through 12.
You know, it's amazing that Isaiah Thomas, boy, man, he has fallen off the face.
But from an MVP candidate to a guy who's forced to take a veteran minimum. Yep. It's unbelievable. I mean, I know there was a big injury there
as
well.
That's a big factor, yes, for sure.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that is a precipitative drop-off.
Yep, and the Nets also shipped Jeremy Lin to the Hawks, clearing out his salary. Brooklyn and Atlanta agreed to swap future second-round picks in that deal. Serena Williams into her 10th Wimbledon final. She'll take on Angelique Kerber tomorrow, rematch of the 2016 women's finale. At the men's semis this morning, John Isner against Kevin Anderson, followed by Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic. And what the heck is wrong with Ben McAdoo? I mean, honestly. The guy has not heard from since he gets canned, and now he comes back, and he's just killing basically everyone in the NFC East, including the Eagles. He's killing Nate Solder and killing Eric Flowers. And I think I saw something as well. He's got an issue with the way Sam Darnold throws a ball as well.
I mean, didn't see that part of it. But yeah,
he basically said he wouldn't have taken a quarterback that high.
Okay.
Like, there was nobody in the draft class that he really thought that highly of. I think, maybe that's just support for Eli. I don't know.
So if you're, I mean, I would assume at some point he wants to get back into coaching, right, in the NFL?
Yes, he's going to take this year off and probably get back in next year.
So let me criticize the defending champs. Let me say Washington is Washington. Criticize the Cowboys. Criticize the Giants for the left tackle they paid a lot of money to, and criticize the left tackle that, you know.
What exactly did he say about Nate Solder?
He said he's not a very good player, but then he also said I think he'll help them because essentially Eric Flowers is awful.
Yeah, he's got experience. But getting a left tackle in there will help them in a lot of ways, McAdoo said of Solder. I don't think he's a very good player, but his experience, I think, will help them in a lot of ways where they needed help in that room in the past and they haven't had anyone to do that. I don't think he's a very good player.
Tom Brady would beg to differ, I'd imagine, right?
I mean, that one, that's the one.
It's as strange as what he used to say when he's behind a podium.
Well,
it just doesn't make sense.
I don't think Bill Belichick would argue with that because he wasn't going to pay him that kind of money.
Well, that doesn't mean he thinks he's a bad player. It's just that they
he's
don't
not
pay.
Worth what
yeah.
the Giants yeah. gave.
Well, the Giants had to give him because they lost the guy that went to Jacksonville.
The right. Patriots pay very few players big money.
But yeah, yet they still go to the playoffs.
I agree, but it doesn't mean they think that they're
probably
bad players.
The AFC sucks.
Yeah, that's definitely a big part of it. If McAdoo wants to criticize someone, how about the other three teams in the AFC East instead of the Eagles who just won the Super Bowl? Doesn't make a lot of sense.
I know. So that he doesn't think they're going to be able to handle success.
I mean, maybe he's upset that, I mean, he only interviewed there, but he ended up getting the Giant job and whatever.
I would also think that there is a highly motivated player that is coming back for the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, his name's Carson Wentz.
Yeah. I would say
this ain't
so
Nick
as well.
Foles. This ain't going to be a Nick Foles-led team. It will be a Carson Wentz-led team.
You think he's week one?
I don't know about week one, but, you know, that kid, you know, he's just, he just eats, sleeps, and breathes football.
Clearly.
He wants to get on the field as quickly as he can. They'll be careful with him.
All right.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.